Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Hey, everyone. I'm so glad you're back for another episode. Today's conversation between Carla Soans and Jill Maraza, who is the Vice President of Business Retention and Expansion for the Economic Development Council of St. Lucie County, is really full of great and straight to the point insights. Jill talks about explaining economic development and communicating what she does in her role to community members who really need to know the importance of her work. And then Carla and Jill dive into a discussion on workforce. Jill really shares some of the innovative strategies that her organization is implementing, the partnership she's forged to drive that plan forward, and why those events have been really successful as a talent strategy. Jill's passion for her region is palpable, and I'm really excited for you to listen into the full conversation. So here we go.
Welcome to another episode of the America's Jobs Team. I'm Carla Soans, and we have one of our top 50 economic developers with us here today. So Jill, welcome to the podcast. I can't wait for our listening audience to learn a little bit more about you and the work that you're doing. So we're going to get started right there. I want to hear all about how you got into economic development and what kind of you're really excited about that's going on in your neck of the woods right now.
Well, thanks, Carla. Thank you, first and foremost. I'm excited to be here. And this is really an honor for me to be here along with my peers. So I'm excited and thank you for the opportunity. Economic development, it's funny. I always love to hear the journeys and the pathways also that people came into our career. I'm a little different maybe than some others. I started my career straight out of high school and went into Wall Street. So I worked at the stock market in New York. And I learned and I grew there and stayed there for many years, for most of my career, about 15, 16 years, and then moved to Florida in the early 2000s. We had, as a family, opened a family business at that time. And unfortunately, it didn't pan out for me, but I had some strong skill sets that I learned and I was able to actually transition my financial background and having a small business in the community and going through planning and permitting and all of that. And back in 2009, I started my career pathway into economic development and have been in there ever since.
Well, that is awesome. And I'm sure that there's a lot of skill transition between what you did on Wall Street and the small business to economic development, which is really exciting. And I think I love hearing how people get into economic development because it really just showcases how many different skill sets you can have and really be extremely effective in this job and in this work. And it kind of highlights just the diversity of professionals in this career, which is really cool.
Absolutely.
So here's the question. And we've been getting this one a lot recently. And I know you probably get it a lot recently. So we thought it'd be kind of fun to ask on the podcast. So we always have people ask us, you know, what is economic development? And I know we laugh at conferences when we're all together and say like, gosh, like it just, you know, you try to say at a family reunion what you do and it just you stumble all over your words and it's just hard. So I'm curious to hear from you, like when people ask you about, you know, what you do for a living,
right?
You know, how do you explain that role to people and how do you make sure that people in your community kind of understand what you do and why it's important?
That's a great question. We do get asked that often. And still today, after 12 years, I'm explaining it to my three adult children. So what I do each and every day. For me, economic development, I think first and foremost is about helping local businesses grow and expand and thrive in the community. So, you know, my title is basically business retention and expansion. It's very diverse title, but that's, you know, the heart and pulse of a community is who's been there through the thick and thin and really just making sure those businesses have the opportunity and the resources to grow, whether it's workforce or export or business to business connections. That's the first part of economic development. And the second part, of course, is business attraction, is always trying to find those businesses that are complementary to your community, to those industry sectors that are here, and building that tax base, building the jobs, making sure that there's a business climate and quality jobs for everybody, whatever level job that they may be in, so that they can be successful. And that's sort of how I explain economic development in its most simplistic form.
I love that. That's a great, great answer. So let's talk about this last year, because I know, 2020 has just not been, for the faint of heart. It was just one heck of a year. And I know we just have had to keep a lot of balls juggling. We've had a pandemic, we've had social unrest, we've had kind of a really wild political season. When you reflect on 2020 and the beginning of 2021, what has been kind of a personal challenge for you, and how did you work to overcome it?
So for our community, we are actually a very small business-based community. Predominantly, most of our businesses, about 98%, are small, very small. Being a small business owner at one time, I know how hard it is to put everything you've got into something and then watch your dream almost sort of disappear. I also have young adult children who, were in New York and were unemployed and couldn't, keep the lights on or have food on their table, and for the struggling family. So I think watching all of that and knowing a little bit of how that felt, going through my own struggles when I was closing my business, that was both professionally and personally a challenge. What I think I brought to that for folks to help them was, I've been there. I know what it feels like a little bit. This was definitely a pandemic, so a little different, but just being able to be there and listen, provide those resources. We're a very small office here. So there's four of us, and we're small but mighty, I say. And we took on, if somebody needed to know how to apply for unemployment, we stepped up and we helped them. If somebody needed to understand the PPP loan time and time again, we were there to help them, or the EIDL loan. And so making sure in the business sense, we were able to be there for people and help them. And then on the other side of that, making sure our businesses, if their families knew there were food, if there was a dual working family and someone was unemployed, making sure they had access to food, making sure they had access to either childcare or work from home options, so that they can, keep a roof over their head and keep their family unit together. So we just tried to be very resourceful, I would say, and help people the best that we could.
Yeah, that really warms my heart, because I think your personal journey really has, from what you're saying, you can tell it just has allowed you to really think about how to best serve people. And, I love to hear those stories. It's so hard to hear the stories of businesses that didn't succeed. Yeah. But when you are able to take that and then apply it and help mm-hmm. other people, that's so powerful. So I'm really happy that your team is doing that, and that you're kind of leading that charge. So I want to kind of switch gears a little bit here, Jill, because when your name was referred as one of the top 50 economic developers, you were nominated for that. And there was a lot of discussion about your organization and just really the workforce discussion. And I know that there's been some partnerships down there with the marine industry and local schools. And I really wanted to give you an opportunity to just kind of highlight what's going on with your workforce and some of the innovative things that you all are doing, because I think it's good best practice for other economic developers mm-hmm. to hear about.
Thank you. That's actually a passion of mine. I think as all of us economic developers are in this realm, we're seeing economic development turn into workforce development. It's people, right? So people drive business. I've been a little bit more hyper-focused in talent pipeline development through the high schools. And I think that's a unique demographic that may have not been touched as much as, in this community and this region. It's been more of everybody goes to college for a very long time. But the tides are turning, and not everybody does go to college. And that's just a fact. And so we have a huge demographic that may not go to college right after high school, or may want to go on that journey later on in life. I'm someone who didn't have an opportunity to go to college. So it's, okay, how do you take that person but give them an opportunity to make sure that they have a pathway to better themselves? Not everybody can find their own way. They need some help. So we started an initiative about 4 years ago when I came to St. Lucie County to work in economic development. And we partnered with the school district and the Manufacturers Association. And we said, let's first and foremost educate our educators and counselors. They need to know what's in this community if we expect them to help us, you know, tell our story. And so we put them all on a bus. The first one, we took about 45 educators, the career and technical educators and counselors from all of our six traditional high schools, put them on a bus for a day and took them to industry partners, took them to manufacturers and distributors so that they can see all of the core industry segments that we have, or a hot bunch of them. And we do that, that's continued, and we do that twice a year. And it's been just a great, great initiative. That was a precursor to what we do that's called a boot camp. We do that usually about 2 weeks after high school graduates. And we utilize our counselors as the liaison to help us identify students that for one reason or another are not going away to college, or just at this point in their lifetime, for whatever reason, whether it's financial, whether it's just generational, and that's not their pathway. But we want to make sure that they know that there's opportunity here to find their passion. You know, a lot of kids here fish and boat. We live on the water. And so we have great boat manufacturers. Well, there's folks that really like to work alone and fast pace, and the distribution model may work very well for them. So we hold a week-long industry exploration, we call it. And we partner with industry partners who open their doors to these students. We give them full facility tours. We meet with presidents of companies and HR directors, and they get to share what it looks like going from academia to the workplace. And then that Friday of that week, we hold a job fair. The employers that participate are willing to take a green student. You know, most of them don't have much experience, but they want to work, or they're really jazzed up about building boats, or, you know, making widgets or whatever it might be, processing juice. And it's been successful. The first 2 years, we had about a 65% placement rate. Wow. Last year, we had to do a little virtual model due to COVID. And we did a partnership with the Boys and Girls Club. And we're on our way this year to start that again the second week of June. And that we did the marine focus just about a week ago. We had a virtual tour. Our marine industry is thriving. And so we wanted to make sure educators had an opportunity to see the different segments of the marine industry. So that's a big passion of mine.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'm so glad that you shared that in detail. You may get calls because people are all, everybody's trying to figure out how to embrace this workforce.
Yeah.
Like, we know we have that gap. Yeah. And I feel like economic developers are all looking for how other people are addressing the issue. So I wouldn't be surprised if your phone starts ringing with people asking, like, how did you do it? Who are you partnering with?
Happy to share.
So I think that's awesome. So one last question, and then we'll wrap up for today, because I know you're extremely busy. I could probably talk to you all day, but I know you've got other things to do. So I want to just end, and I think it's a good way to end. You're obviously have found a place that really meets your passion, and you're thriving down in St. Lucie County. What advice do you have for other people who are kind of up and coming in economic development, and maybe they haven't heard about economic development, they're just getting started in economic development? What's kind of your advice for those people who are just getting started out in this industry?
Well, first and foremost, I think, you know, you've got to find something. You wake up every day and love your job. I wake up and love my job. So I love coming to work. I don't wake up saying, I don't want to go to work. But this is a stressful job. So I think you have to find your skill sets in this niche market, which is very diverse, and be passionate about it. And that's going to show at the end of the day. Know that you make an impact. I mean, I wake up every day with my colleagues, and we know that we make an impact every day, or at least we strive to make an impact. But I do believe, I live by a professional belief about being honest and transparent in this business. Everybody has a great quality of life where they live. You know, we all love where we live. But every community has strengths and weaknesses. And when you're there or you're competing for projects, you need to be honest and transparent about that. And it shows the support to your community that you're doing that. But most importantly, I mean, I'm all about customer service and experience. This business is very competitive in the business attraction world, and also just retaining businesses. And so I think when people have a really good experience and a really good customer service, you may not win every project, and that's okay. But the fact that they'll remember that they'll come back to you in the future. It'll come back to you in a positive way. So I just think if they can take some of those skill sets and bring those with them every day, they'll be very successful in this industry.
That is great advice. Great advice to think about. You know, you aren't going to win everything, but how you leave people always does matter. And really staying focused and being honest and always providing good customer service is so critical. Thank you, Jill, for being with us today. Congratulations on being one of the top 50 economic developers in North America. You certainly deserve every minute of that recognition, and you're doing great things. And we're just excited to be able to share your story with the rest of the listening audience today.
Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate the opportunity, and congratulations to all my fellow nominees.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.